This conference will
Hi everybody, this is Laura Berman Fortgang speaking. You are on the March 2010 monthly Now What Community Call. The Community Call is an opportunity for anyone who's in career transition or currently reading Now What, 90 Days to a New Life Direction, or currently working one of our home study programs or working with one of our coaches to ask questions and get those answered, or to bring up any subject around career reinvention or career transition. Right now the lines are closed to being able to speak, but I will open those up, and this call is being recorded so that many of the folks who signed up to be on here who knew they couldn't be here live will get a chance to listen to it later. But thank you for being here. We do these calls monthly to support the process. We also have several coaches on the call who have trained to use the Now What materials with their clients, and they're known as authorized Now What facilitators, and some of those folks come on the call every month as well. And we, in fact, have a training coming up for coaches on April 16th and 17th in Portland, Oregon, and that'll be 2 days live with me doing some coach skill stuff as well as intuitive-based stuff, and then 8 weeks of teleclass to follow that up to learn the ins and outs of the Now What program and what it means to use this proven program with clients and how to market it and use it as a tool to grow your business. So that we still have room for two more people for Portland, Oregon on April 16th and 17th. So if there are any coaches or HR folks or anyone who works with people with career transition questions, please do send us an email or look at us up on the site at nowwhatcoaching.com. Also, we are at Kripalu, or rather I should say I'm at Kripalu this coming weekend. Kripalu's in Stockbridge, Mass. It's a beautiful resort yoga place, kind of low-key but very clean and spiritual and beautiful. And so I'll be there leading a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday retreat for people who are in the questions about what they want to do next with their life. And there's probably still an opportunity to join that since they have plenty of room. And I think we have around 40 people signed up at this point. And you can get more information on that either on my website, laurabermanforking.com, or at Kripalu's website, which is kripalu.org. So I'm going to open up the lines now and see what your thoughts are tonight about career reinvention, career transition, and whatever you're up to. So here we go. Hi, is there anyone who would like to ask a question tonight or has anything to say about their Now What experience or their career transition work right now? Please do say your name and where you're from. Anyone who just wants to say hello.
I wonder if I'm the only one here.
No, you're not, because when I come on, I know how many people are on the call.
Okay.
I can see that going. So you're not the only person. Who's there?
Yeah, my name is CJ. I'm calling from Vermont.
Hello.
And I'm totally new to this, so that's why I don't have any questions yet. I have seen your website, and I've seen you in the Kripalu catalog. That's about all I know so far.
Oh, cool. So are you in the muddy season up there in Vermont?
It is muddy, yes. But we're grateful for that because that means the snow's going away. So
right. A little earlier than usual, right?
That's good. It's good.
And and where are you someone who's thinking about what you want to do next? Is that caught your attention in the Kripalu catalog?
Yes, yeah. I'm a writer, and I'm considering ways to make a living as a writer and doing some of the other things I like to do. So,
cool. This call is really about whoever steps forward gets served. So if there's anything more specific you want to ask or are curious about, this is your moment. So feel free.
Well, can you tell a little bit about what the Now What program is?
Sure, I'm happy to. The Now What program is directly lifted from the book of the same name, which is called Now What? 90 Days to a New Life Direction. And the book is the program. The book is 12 chapters, but that's 12 weeks. It's a 12-week process
mm-hmm.
of peeling back the layers and looking at what rises to the top as the next direction for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not resume-based, and it's not, you know, trying to leverage everything you've done career-wise so far. It's really less linear than that,
mm-hmm.
and it's more looking at, you know, who are you? What are the things that have, you know, sort of been built into you? I call that your life blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
That are exactly the things that you need to be focusing on to make the biggest contribution for you out there, but also get the greatest impact coming back at you in terms of financially and satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And the program was designed for people who really have no idea what's next,
mm-hmm.
but even somebody who does have an idea what's next, if you start from the beginning, you're going to kind of give it a litmus test. Do you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
you'll get confirmation,
mm-hmm.
or you'll be like, oh my gosh, I so got this wrong. You know, I'm glad I didn't take any steps yet. And the book is really divided into two parts. First, naming what it is, meaning what's the next direction, what's the next step, what's the thing I'm going to do.
Yep.
And then the second part is having it become a reality. You know, what kind of steps need to be taken, what kind of plan, what do you need in place to make a smooth transition.
Right.
So really it's a clarity tool. You know, that's why it's called 90 Days to a New Life Direction, not 90 days to the new job or 90 days to the next career.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about clarity, getting those answers, plotting the course, and, you know, I kind of pride myself on the fact that we don't go by people's resumes. We go actually by their life stories and look at what themes are in a life story that give us the clues as to your future.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, I wrote the book in 2003, but had been working with clients since 2001, specifically and exclusively on career and life direction. I've been a coach for 18 years, though. But I'd done more corporate-based work and different kinds of books before this one. But it, since 01, just seeing more and more people wanting to sharpen their focus around their career, know that they're doing something that matters, that's meaningful to them, and, of course, making a decent living at it as well.
Right.
So that's kind of a nutshell
yeah.
of the program. But thank you for asking that, because I forget on these calls to explain what it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I got a little of that sense from the Kripalu catalog description and also from your website, which I looked at today. You know, the scary part is, you know, I might have some ideas of things I would love to do that I think are the do what you love part, but I guess I don't know really that I believe I can make it happen. And so it seems like a structure like this and some, I don't know, logical steps help take it out of the realm of just, you know, idea and say, okay, maybe this really could work, you know, and
right.
how would you do it? I don't know if there's anybody else who wants to talk, but I guess I'll talk.
Well, we'll find out in a minute. We'll ask them. You get the benefit of being first, so go ahead.
Okay. I just out of the blue said to my husband a couple of weeks ago, well, if I could do anything, it would be X.
Mm-hmm.
And went online kind of exploring an oblique angle to that, thinking that there wasn't such a thing as X out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I guess I can say it's oral history work. Like stories, family history, not necessarily genealogy tracing, but the storyteller, the writer part of me wanting to work with people to collect their stories while they're here. And
mm-hmm.
Really feeling that a lot of people have stories to tell and that they don't have a mechanism or a means to either record them in writing or in tape recording or video or whatever form, and then they die and they're gone. And so anyway, it was coming from that idea, and so I thought, well, I've already done some of this work a little bit, just as a a thing that I love doing, but not for a career. And the hardest thing is getting this stuff transcribed. And so I was online saying, okay, maybe I need a career as a medical transcriptionist so that there's, I know how it's done. You know, meanwhile, that's not really what I want to do.
No.
Yeah, I don't want to do medical transcription. So I just, after searching a while and not getting exactly anywhere, I said, well, why don't I just type oral history and transcription? And meanwhile, this whole world opened up, and there's all these people out there doing it.
Right.
And there's all these people with websites who have businesses doing this already. And so I said, oh, it's not such a crazy idea.
No.
Now,
and,
how do I get, you know, so there's a way, then, so now I believe in it. How do I now figure out what the steps are? And that's kind of where, you know, how do I make it a practical thing now?
Great. So you're halfway through the book.
Well, and I haven't even read the book.
You're halfway through because you've named
Good.
It. You know, you found it.
Good.
So now it's a matter of, you know, making it become a reality.
Right.
And I know you said you're not into genealogy per se, but have you caught, I think NBC is doing this new show, like, who do you think you are?
Well, my problem is I don't have TV where I live.
Oh, that's okay. But basically you're on to something because if a television show is, you know, taking celebrities and showing them their past,
okay,
and getting them in touch with, you know, how far back their family's going, not necessarily just from a genealogy base, but also
right.
from a storytelling base, and
right.
seeing
and
the power
right.
of that.
Yeah.
You know, and you know how our culture is, you know, once they see the power of it on TV through celebrities, then they want it for themselves, too. So actually, that's running in your benefit right now, and you didn't
right.
even know it.
What TV, network?
NBC.
All right, I got to find out if I can, maybe, we just got high-speed internet about a month ago, so.
Yeah, so you might be able to find
TV
some of it online. You might
yeah.
be able to find
okay.
some of it online.
Good.
Well, good. I'll get back to you. Let's see if there is anybody else on the line who wants to say anything, but we will talk about, you know, plotting those steps.
Okay.
Does anybody have anything they want to hear covered tonight or have any questions?
Well, I've just joined. My name is Cindy Heath.
Welcome. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New Hampshire.
Oh, not far from Vermont.
And so I discovered your work through a friend on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And did you ask a question at the beginning to try to guide us to a theme for the conversation, or what are you seeking from us?
No, tonight is just an open forum. You know, where are you in your career reinvention, and, you know, what questions might you have, and what's going on, and how might I help?
Okay. Well, very briefly, I retired last fall after 26 years in public service in the field of recreation and parks.
Mm-hmm.
And so the career change that I've made is into consulting, so making a leap from public service to the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found that I've spent the last 3 or 4 months really adjusting to that and trying to do some learning on what it means to be a business, to have a business, and to be in business as opposed to be in public service.
Sure.
And so I'm a little challenged by all the resources that there are out there for how to establish a small business, how to market it, finances around it, how to set up an office. And so I guess what I'm seeking is sort of a streamlined understanding of all the aspects of having a home business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also seeking maybe advice and guidance on how to keep things simple, because I'm the kind of person that I love to learn new things and try new things. I'm a creative type of person, so I've always got an idea and always pursuing fun ideas to me. So I love to garden, and because I was in the recreation profession, I just got all these hobbies. So every few years I pick up a new hobby and all the related gear and learning and education around it and time. And so finding ways to focus my energy on developing this new business, which is this consulting arm. I'm running the East Coast office of a national planning and consulting firm, and trying to grow that market here in the East. And
so you kind of have a job. You're hired by somebody else, but you have to be self-motivated now.
Yeah, that's a really great way to put it. Not that I wasn't self-motivated before, but motivated to and focus on how to grow a business. Was able to start a program, do a community convening, get focus groups going. I mean, it was very easy under the shelter of public service to do all this stuff, but in business, I'm finding, well, it's a little bit different. You got to be more intentional with your time, and because time is money. Not that it wasn't in government, but it was just a little bit more.
Sorry, I had a laugh.
I know.
So I understand what you mean. All right, so let's address that, because both our questions so far are really about the, the how do you do your business for yourself kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a business owner for 18 years, and before that I was self-employed too, but I had to take jobs here and there to sustain myself. But I've never been employed by anybody mm-hmm. else. I've always been either an independent contractor or self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
So I can definitely speak to this, and I've certainly helped hundreds of people in their own businesses. And starting out can be very daunting. It just seems like there's so many departments. You're, chief cook and bottle washer, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a matter of discipline, but it's also a matter of taking bite-sized pieces of it. You're both people that spoke so far, you're in service-based businesses. So you're not developing a product per se. You're not manufacturing. You're not taking orders and having to fill orders. And this is probably the easiest kind of business to start, because you need the least amount of capital.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to start a factory or open a restaurant or start a clothing line. That requires a lot of money up front before you even get into the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really financially the easiest kind of business to start, especially if you're, now have a pension or you're in a position where you have something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all positive things. And it comes down to a few questions that seem simple, but you have to answer them. What am I selling?
Mm-hmm.
A consulting service, but, what consulting what, or, as you talked about the transcribing earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then who will buy this? Who needs this? Whose pain am I answering to?
Mm-hmm.
Families whose history is lost, or family, let's talk about the other person, but these go to both of you. Families who see their family shrinking and realize they haven't captured the stories.
Mm-hmm.
Or, if you're setting out and saying you have a certain, you're doing the Eastern Seaboard of a certain company, then what, who is your market and what kind of companies are you targeting for the consulting you're going to do? And don't start, with this tremendous list of all the gazillion places you could be doing this. Pick three areas that are going to be your first target areas and, see how that goes. So then once you have the targets, how are you going to reach your targets? Is it you're going to be writing a blog and they're going to be finding it on the internet? Is it you're going to be speaking out in your area about your area of expertise, even if it's for free, just at churches and libraries and whatever, to attract people to it? Are you going to need to pay for advertising? Do you need to be, seen out and about in certain industry circles?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, how am I going to reach my market?
Mm-hmm.
And then, having an ongoing plan for reaching them, and then you have to start servicing them, when they start showing up. So this becomes the tough point for a lot of people, is how do you deliver the work and still keep marketing? You kind of have to cross that bridge when you come to it. Not to give you more to worry about right now. First, you got to worry about getting your first customers. And then in terms of getting your first customers, what are you going to charge for this?
Right. How do you figure that out?
Being that you're in something that has a, it has a history,
mm-hmm.
or you're with a company, but you're independently starting this, they should have information for you on that.
Right, so you ask somebody else who's doing it who's willing to tell you.
Right, but also like the other person who spoke was talking about, like, they found these people online, so What do they charge? Do they put it on their website? Do they not?
Right.
You know, are you willing to call them and just say, look, I'm, you know, not in your area. Would you be willing to talk to me about it? They might
right.
not, but, you know.
Right, and that's what I thought about doing. So that makes sense. I saw
right.
your website. I love what you do. Will you talk to me about it?
Right. And some may and some may not. But you also, you know, if it's important to get a sense of what your industry or what your market will bear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for example, I know still the national average to hire a life coach is in the $350 a month range. I charge at least $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've got to justify why I'm worth that much more money.
Right.
Right? But, you know, I don't think that many people can say they've been doing this 18 years without lying that they did it in another profession first. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And not that many people can say that they founded this or started that or been successful at this or that. So you have to learn how to toot your own horn as a business owner. There is no question about that. You cannot be shy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're starting out and you haven't done anything yet,
mm-hmm.
you know, it really takes only convincing one person, and then you have plenty to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about being a sole proprietor is you have to get over the imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people start as like, well, I haven't even worked with anybody yet. How could I even tell them? You know, and it really is finding that worth within yourself, that value within yourself, and realizing that, you know, I have something that I know is going to make a difference for people. You know,
mm-hmm.
for me, early on, I was a client first. I was a coaching client for 2 years before I decided to get trained to do it. And, okay, so I never worked with a client, but I totally believed in my product.
Right.
Because it changed my life. So you have to find your passion with whatever your product is and have your enthusiasm help you attract your first few customers. You know, and then you're going to give great service and have something to talk about. I mean, I remember doing lunch talks for free at corporations on stress management. And I wasn't a stress management consultant, you know, but I knew that many of the things that I put in place for people, like setting boundaries and knowing, you know, how to manage a schedule and whatever, reduce stress.
Right.
And it only took one manager at that free luncheon talk. You know, brown bag lunch talk. I mean, I'm making it sound like they were fed. They weren't. They brought their own brown bag lunches. You know, it only took one manager with a budget to say, my team needs to hear this. And I had my first check written by a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And I now had my first corporate client.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something to remember, too, when you get that first customer is like, you never sit on your laurels. You know, it's like use the energy of that success to call the next person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like one of my models for soul entrepreneurs is like, if you've had a great day, pick up the phone and make a scary phone call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way to leverage more out of it. So, you know, then you start growing some momentum and it's like, well, how do I keep track of all of this? You know, you might have to have someone in your business before you can even afford an assistant, have an assistant, even if it's a student who just runs to the post office for you or, you know, gets the banking done for you, and then eventually someone who can, you know, help with other things. But as soon as you start seeing business coming in, you have to decide what am I uniquely qualified to do? You know, for me, it's coaching, or it's speaking, or it's writing, and everything else, you know, I write my own blog, but, you know, getting it up online, getting things sent out to my team of coaches, getting things done, you know, all gets delegated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a problem you hope to have eventually, is that you have to really ask yourself, you know, as the core of the business, what is the part that only I can do?
Right.
So, I don't want to go on and on about how you're going to grow your business, but I just wanted to give you both like a, you know, a start. Who, what are you selling? To who? Where do you find them? How are you going to reach them?
Mm-hmm.
And then putting a dollar value on it is, you know, doing as much research as you can to find out what your market will bear. And then also, it has to feel good to you.
Right.
You know, it has to feel, you know, decide what your time is worth.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know pretty fast if you've overbid. You know, one of my best indicators is if someone says, well, you know, how much would it be for you to speak at our organization?
Mm-hmm.
And I give them my number and they go, oh, okay, great. I realize, God, I didn't ask for enough money. You know, they should at least choke. Or try to push back.
So if they choke, are you prepared to not charge as much?
It really depends. You know, it depends how well I'm doing at the time, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, can I give them a break? Maybe I will. But I'll tell you, I have many examples of walking away from work before taking less than I think I'm worth. And one of my favorite stories was only a year ago. Like, I had spoken for an organization 10 years prior when they were a teeny-weeny organization that just started out, and they wanted me back 10 years later. Now they're big. Now they have their conferences in big hotels with 1,200 people and blah, blah, blah. And they wanted to pay me the same fee to speak that they did 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I said, ladies,
mm-hmm.
you know, and usually it's women. I'm sorry, but women will always try to undercut another woman
mm-hmm.
financially. And I said, ladies, that was 10 years ago. Everyone's price goes up in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but boo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo. You know, and I had needed the work, but I said, you know, your organization exists to further women in the blank business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you what, you know, which business, because I feel like I'm gossipy. And I said, what would you say to a woman in your organization who got offered a salary underneath her market value?
Mm-hmm.
You exist for the furtherment of women. So I'm sorry, but I can't accept your offer.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back in less than 24 hours and gave me full fee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so you just have to know, there comes a point where, you know, you've proven yourself, and you just don't compromise.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let me make sure we haven't missed anyone else on the call who wanted to ask something else. And anybody who had anything else on their mind other than starting their small business, or perhaps in conjunction with this conversation?
This is Roberta. I'm from Pennsylvania, and
Hello.
Hello. Hello, I'm just working on leadership skills and trying to be a better leader, and that's part of the reason why I showed up.
Cool. So that's your now what? Your now what?
I'm sorry, what?
Your now what is your leadership?
Oh, I have a mobile spa, and now I've started to hire people, and I need to delegate more, I'm having my first team call tomorrow night. It's a bridge conference call type of situation, just like this. So you're one of my role models that I've been following for years, and just happened to get your email, and that's why I showed up.
Oh, cool. Well, I hope you learned something just from listening, you know, gathering the call, getting everyone on board. It's really weird to be on a call where, you know, you can't see everybody. And you're not even sure. I know how many people are here because I can control it electronically, but, you know, not everyone wants to talk, and that's always weird. But, so you're working on your leadership. You're growing your business. You have people that you're managing now. So what do you find to be your biggest challenge in terms of leadership?
Getting people motivated to work.
Aha. So to work, like, with commitment and passion?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure that you're working with the right people?
Probably not.
How long have you known that?
I've known it for a long time, but it's
yeah.
just that's who I have to work with at this time. And it's either, it would be great to mold them into a more business people that want to do more, but not everybody is as motivated or has the drive.
Right. And so are you in the place where you're like, okay, this is who I have and this is how I'm going to make the best of it, or are you in the position to be able to change out some of these players?
Oh, I could definitely change out.
Right. Yeah, I mean, did you say you're in a spa business?
Yes, the mobile spa.
You know, and that is a tough business in terms of motivating people, and I just know that from experiences with other organizations that I've been involved with. It's like people like the part that they do, but they really, you know, if they wanted to be in business for themselves, they would be. But at those places, you are in business for yourself. you know, it's yeah. your great service that has people coming back. It's, you know, your service and your attitude that has people asking for you.
Mm-hmm.
And getting people to have that ownership is the trick as the leader mm-hmm. of this kind of business. So it's like you've got to get people where they live. Where do they live? They want to make more money, probably.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to work to make it.
Exactly. So, right. But always laying out the path for them of, like, what you see as possible for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when they step up. So it's not like, you know, you have to do more, you have to do more. It's when, you know, this is what I see for you. You know, if you had a clientele, let's say you had 10 people that you can count on monthly, you know, they when you, you know, give great service there, those people have 20 other people in their life that they're going to talk to. And imagine if they were all asking for you, you know, how would that make you feel? What kind of tips are you going home with at the end of the week? You know, so constantly, you know, again, putting yourself in their shoes, because what I realize in the spa business or the salon business is, they think the owners are just loaded
mm-hmm.
with money. You know, like, you make all the money, you know, we just work for the man. And it's, you know, they don't realize what it takes to hold an overhead, to, you know, have inventory that you have to pay for, products or whatever. They just really don't have a concept of that. So it's constantly thinking that, you know, every time you're pushing, it's for you to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's some truth to that, but it's again about constantly painting the picture for people about how it works for everybody. You know, and I even have that in my own organization. You know, I have independent contractors who are authorized now what facilitators. And
mm-hmm.
the harder they work, the better they do. And, you know, and yes, so I sell a few books at 8.5 cents a book. Thank you very much. You know, that I make. But there's this perception that I'm getting rich, you know. And truthfully, like, the bulk of my income comes from what I do, not what other people are doing for me. You know what I mean? But really
mm-hmm.
trying to paint a picture that, you know, yes, there's something coming back to the house, so to speak, but it's really, you know, the extra training you give them or the meetings that you call, you know, are not to take away from their personal time. It's to, you know, continue to improve a service. And again, do you paint the picture for them of what's in it for them? And also painting a picture of, you know, what happens when we, you know, make happy people in the world, you know, by helping them relax or helping them feel more beautiful or whatever it is that you provide.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you know, my core message for you is just always trying to get people to see above their small-mindedness. You know, and above, you know, their own fears that there's nothing in it for them. And that comes, you know, that comes over time and building trust. And there's some people who'll never respond. But
mm-hmm.
you'll see where your bad apples are.
And attitude is
everything. You know, as easy it is to want to react when people aren't, you know, working hard, it's like try to keep humor in it.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, it's like, well, gosh, I see those sheets on the floor. Why doesn't anyone else see those sheets on the floor? I have a special skill. I'm the only one. I'm psychic. Must be psychic that I see those massage sheets on the floor. You know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It's really hard to motivate people. But mm-hmm. the more fun you have with it, I think, the easier it is. Does that help?
It helps a lot. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. But I hope the takeaway is, like, always help them see bigger than right in front of their nose. What's possible for them? What's in it for them? Good. Anyone else have anything they want to bring up?
I'm wondering, this is Cindy from New Hampshire, unless anybody else has something new, I've got a question.
Go ahead.
Would you recommend, what kind of outside professionals would you recommend hiring versus doing, you know, stuff yourself, like an accountant, an attorney? You mentioned someone to load your stuff up to the website. Do you have sort of a sense of what would be good to give away as you're starting out, if you can afford to do it?
You know, just think of what's your weakest point, you know? I mean, obviously, most, you know, what do you think right now your legal needs are?
Well, I'm in a pretty good position in that regard because I work for a company as a project consultant, so I'm not really starting my own consulting business, but
right.
I am working on my own garden design and a fabric art business, which are kind of just hobbies that I'm hoping to make a little bit of money on eventually. So that they're not primary sources of income, but things like maybe a contract or insurance of some sort. That
right.
Kind of
it's important to have good contracts. The thing with most lawyers is they're going to want to overcomplicate your contracts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to want to give you like a 9-page contract, you know, to have your tires changed. and so, you know, it's like it's always a dance with lawyers because, you know, they have to watch out for every possible thing go wrong, so they write these huge contracts. So it's like getting some things in language that, you know, is comfortable for your customers, too. I mean, I don't know what kind of business you're in, so I don't want to give bad legal advice here. It's like, but if you're working for a company that already exists, why don't they have any contracts to show you that you could pass by someone and say, does this go in my state?
Yeah, that's already occurring. Talking about
good.
These other things that I might develop. In
Oh, like your other hobbies on your own, right. You know, errors and emissions insurance is really good. If you're giving any kind of advice, you want to, you know, it's always nice to have that security that you're protected should somebody have taken something you've said and, you know, done something horrible and then turn around and blame it on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it depends what, you know, what kind of advice you're giving. If there's professional associations involved with it, like, for example, coaching has a professional association, so, you know, we have insurance through our professional association, which is much cheaper than having to go just at large to, let's say, Hartford Insurance or any insurance company that gives out errors and omissions insurance for advice giving type
mm-hmm.
of consultancies. You just want to be smart. You know, you don't want to have to reinvent the wheel. You don't want to, you know, go off and spend, you know, thousands of dollars on a contract that really is unnecessary. And it takes just getting out there and doing some things, you know, like, you know, you have a contract come to you that you don't like, you realize, I need a lawyer to look at this. So I'd say starting points is like, if you're not strong with money, if you're not going to be good with invoicing and keeping track of expenses, then certainly hire a bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you know, like on a small scale, starting out, you can handle that until it gets too big, then do it yourself. Web design. Just because you do it doesn't mean you want to do it. You know, there's plenty of people who have taught themselves HTML. Bless them. That's not me. You know, but you have to say, is it worth me spending a month building a website when I could be spending a month bringing in my first customer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the answer is no. You know, get that first customer and let that pay for the website getting developed by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to start asking yourself smart questions. You know, I know way too many people who have a service-oriented business who will spend half a year getting ready to start their business. And in that half a year, they're getting a beautiful website and a beautiful card and a beautiful brochure. And that is such a waste of time because you just really need to decide what you're selling and who you're selling it to, where you're going to find them and get out and get them. Because your brochure, your website is going to change dramatically in the first 6 months of your business once you know what the feedback is, you know, from being out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I get sad when I see people like spending way too much time and money on that concern when it's going to change soon enough. So the important places are to just get going. You know, it's like, I know you've heard like success stories of somebody like, you know, they make this cute little doll and they sell it out of their trunk, and then all of a sudden they have more orders than they could ever need, and they can't sell them themselves, and their friends sell them with them, and then they have to find them. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's almost the better way to go. You know, and there's two, you know, there's different philosophies. Then there's the build the field and they will come philosophy. But when you're starting on a shoestring budget, whether it's a hobby business or it's, you know, a consulting business or something you're going to do as your only business, you have to ask yourself the tough questions. You know, how long can I go without an income? How much money do I have to devote to this? What's my cutoff point? You know, like when I was starting out, I didn't have any kids yet, but I was single and I was taking care of myself, and luckily I had very low rent, but I, you know, took $10,000, which doesn't sound like a lot of money today, but in the mid-80s it still kind of was, and especially the way I lived very frugally at the time. And I said, you know, it's $10,000 or 6 months, whichever runs out first, I better have made some kind of entree into having a coaching practice.
Mm-hmm.
And within 4.5 months, you know, I was able to stop the drain on that little bit of savings and keep going longer and longer. It took me 2.5 years before I really had a sustainable service business. And I think the average is a 1 to 3 year window in a service business, meaning like you're not manufacturing a product,
mm-hmm.
to create a stable base. And the reason why they say that most businesses fail after 5 years is that a lot of people, you know, get into a business because they like the thing. You know, like they like knitting, so they open a knitting store, or they like baking, so they open a bakery. But what happens is you spend less and less time doing the thing you love and more becoming a manager.
Mm-hmm.
And that unhappiness grows, and also not stopping to take the time to work on your business, just constantly being in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being a business owner is for the multitasker. You know, it is for the person who, you know, can be self-motivated, who can break things down into small pieces and make them achievable, who can, you know, keep some kind of master list and kind of know where you're headed at all times, but really being able to decide on a daily basis what is the action that needs to be taken. It's so easy to get distracted. I mean, I used to, you know, clean my apartment all day long because I had to have everything in order before I sat down to start doing any work. You know, and that was really just an avoidance technique, because then it was 4 p.m. and I was exhausted. You know, and I couldn't possibly do any work now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
I can relate to that.
Yeah, I bet. You know, and then I realized, oh, that's just an avoidance technique, this needing order, you know, complete order before I could do anything. It was avoiding. I was so afraid to pick up that phone and start, you know, selling myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I used to make, you know, cleaning a reward, you know, like if you make 3 calls, then you can clean the living room, you know. And I only lived in this teeny-weeny apartment. I mean, how dirty could it be? But, you know, we do that to ourselves. We find distractions. We find other things. So it's not that you have to be the perfect, most disciplined person. It's not that. It's just that you have to be very strong-willed to say, oh, gosh, that's not a priority. That's not a priority. That's not a priority. And it's that constant prioritizing that I think is really important for the solopreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And also being able to recognize opportunity, and that goes for anybody. That goes for someone still wondering what the heck they're going to do next to, you know, our spa director, to the businesses you two are thinking of starting. It's, you know, what's important today? What really matters? You know, what's going to make this day matter financially and in terms of what you want to be accomplishing?
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of technology do you use to keep yourself organized and on task and from avoiding stuff? I mean, at this stage of your career, it sounds like you certainly have got it down pat, but what would you recommend starting out if one is having trouble focusing and organizing the day so that there's productivity for the work and also balance for the personal life? Do you have particular, like, do you have a BlackBerry, or do you use a computer, or just a piece of paper on the wall, or what kind of?
That's a good question. And no, I don't have it down pat, but I think my years of being a waitress really helped me learn how to prioritize. I really mean that.
Done that too.
You know, nothing teaches you how to know what needs to happen next, and years of that. Well, I don't have any magic formula, but I can tell you that I sit in front of more radiation than I probably should. You know, like I sit with a computer open in front of me most of the time. You know, so email is my connection to the world. My iPhone is my calendar. My Mac and my iPhone sync up to each other, so they're constantly talking to each other, and I know where I am at any given time. And I do have an assistant, and we monitor scheduling really carefully. In terms of technology, God, it's such a good question. But it's like I don't have some one big answer for you. A lot of people like Basecamp, which I think it's downloadable through iTunes, believe it or not. But Basecamp, you know, it's someplace to put everything. There's a new website that I haven't tested out yet, but I do know the guy who started it. It's called One Mind, MYND.com. Mm-hmm. One Mind, and it's just a platform online, but it's someplace where you can organize, you know, all your many thoughts and projects that have to do with your business. I hate to admit it, but I'm still actually a paper person. Mm-hmm. I started in paper, and I still like paper, and I still write books, and, you know, don't know if I like that my books are on Kindle. I'm a little behind the times on those things. But, like, I love paper. I like to touch it, feel it, see it, and I have I have ongoing timelines when things have to happen, and then I have daily to-do lists under when those things have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I work with a lot of CEOs and CFOs and COOs, and, you know, my assignment for them is always like, you know, what are the 5 responsibilities of your job? Now, these are employed folks, but they're leaders. And, you know, you have to measure every opportunity or everything that comes into your space under those 5 things that you're responsible for. And if they don't fit, who else do they go to?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, so like if you're self-employed, those 5 things might be, you know, my service, what am I selling? You know, what are my offerings? Might be, you know, my marketing plan and the implementation of it. All the electronic and social media support, you know, whether I'm doing it myself or I'm doing it for, you know, or someone else is doing it. Finances. And long-term projects. You know, so those might be 5 areas that you are constantly monitoring or visiting at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some people are Excel spreadsheet people. I could probably be doing better. I just have always had, just like a natural prioritizing ability.
Mm-hmm.
But my business is to the point now where this is terrible to admit, but I'm really writing some of my first business plans now, 18 years later.
Why are you doing it now?
Because it's too big to keep in my head.
Mm.
You know, and some of the things that I want to do really require, like, a building and time. And maybe I'm just too old now to keep it all in my head.
So how do you do a business plan?
You know, there's so many philosophies about that. You know, there's people who are going to want you can go online and get a program to do a business plan. You just write it in business plans, and, you know, you can hire someone to do it. You can find programs that show you how to do it. And now, part of why I've waited this long, too, and it's not because I plan now to borrow money, but, you know, if you're going to go to a bank or if you're going to get venture capital, I mean, you have to have a serious business plan, you know, your executive summary and who's on your team and who are your advisors and everybody's resumes and what are your cash projections and how long things are going to take. And, you know, but because I've never had to capitalize my business from anyone other than me, I've never had to be that formal about it. So my personal motivation now is not about getting additional capital as much as, you know, being able to have a more long-term plan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm probably the wrong person to ask, but it's not as complicated as you think it is. You know, the complicated ones are when you're having to do all kinds of projections because someone's about to invest money in you.
Mm-hmm.
A simple business plan you can literally do on a legal pad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's some of the questions I said before. You know, what am I selling? Who am I selling it to? Where do I find them? How do I reach them? Once I get them, what am I doing with them?
Mm-hmm.
you know, and how am I going to build a reputation doing this? What are all the pieces? And also when you're in a service business, sometimes you're not just doing the thing. Like, for example, with me with coaching, when I first started coaching, I wanted to have as many clients as possible. I would have 25 to 30 clients a week. I never talk to more than 5 clients a week now. And that's because I also speak, and I do spokesperson work for corporations, and I run, you know, Now What Coaching, and have lots of coaches who train with me, and I have to manage my team of coaches. You know, and there's blogging, and there's writing books, and, you know, so it's grown to, like, multiple sprockets, you know, multiple, what's the word I'm looking for, spokes. So, you know, it used to be a time when it was one service, but now there's many pieces that add up to a whole. So that's when it gets complicated. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, is our spa owner still here?
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, what do you offer? Massage and facials and...
You know, I offer a group spa experience. So it's really kind of like a mini group. It's a stress management session. We do
uh-huh.
a hand treatment, a facial, a foot treatment, and then we, in conjunction with stress management principles and teaching. So there's some conversation and some coaching that kind of goes along with the whole process.
Oh, so you don't have like a physical store or like a place.
No, we're mobile, so I go to
all
businesses.
All right, you said that.
I go to offices. Yeah, no, it's okay. I go to offices, businesses, you know, that type of thing.
Right. So, but I'm sure sometimes people aren't buying the whole Magilla, you know, so maybe, you know, maybe you go out and you as the solo entrepreneur, you know, go out and maybe you do a talk somewhere, and then that attracts people to want to have the whole spa experience.
Exactly. Or I'll do a
right.
table, or I do marketing or that type of thing.
Right. So
sure.
It's like your different activities are what bring in the core business.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
So, right. So if we go back to talk about planning and business planning, you know, then those things go into one of the ways that you're going to market is to be out and talk about this or to lecture at libraries about family lineages or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how, you know, a less formal business plan happens. And now, you know, there's some people who want to create an empire. You know, I'm talking about small business, you know, owners, mostly home-based. You know, and then it's a whole other story if you're talking about becoming a millionaire, multimillionaire doing it, or you know, having multiple companies. You know, you got to have serious people helping you with your serious business plan. I'm talking, you know, homegrown entrepreneurs.
Right.
And you know, I've developed a six-figure business that I've maintained for years, and now I am playing the how do I become a million-dollar business. And to some people, that's small potatoes. But as you know, someone who just started hoping to replace their waitressing income
mm-hmm.
of $36,000. You know, I did all right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now that my kids are a little older, I like, oh, I want to play a bigger game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that requires a different level of planning. So that's why I'm finally finding planning.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
anyway, go ahead.
Who do you look to for leadership and advice at this stage of your career? So you've been in it 18 years. I'm sort of presuming that your evolution of learning and now that you're teaching, but who now at this stage do you look to for guidance and knowledge and wisdom, et cetera?
Oh, I have my own coach. I mean, I don't always maintain a coach. I go through, like, my first 7 years of being a coach, I constantly had my own coach. But then over the years, it's like I decide I need support in certain areas. Like at one point it was parenting. So I got to actually work with someone on parenting or, you know, some other area of my life. But now I recently hired a woman who is a minister like me. I went through a ministry training, and she has $1 million business or more. So I was like, I want to be with a mentor who's done what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like probably in the middle of a 1-year commitment with her, and it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I very much try to walk my talk, and especially if I am not feeling 100% about what I'm doing, I will certainly be, you know, I mean, I said it early on when I started coaching was like, my first client paid for my coach. I didn't even think about not having a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of, you know, people in my profession or starting out, you know, make the mistake of thinking, well, I can't afford a coach, you know, so I'm just going to get started. And it's like, wait, what kind of message are you sending?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the money. It's not worth investing in a coach for you, and you expect people to pay you?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, good point.
So, you know, but that's kind of just the way that business works.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely believe in mentors or coaches or someone who's ahead of you on the food chain, so to speak. I think it's, you know, your ego should never be too big to have help. Well, we have quickly reached the top of the hour, and I said I was going to stop at 10 of tonight because I have a house guest. So I want to thank you for being on the call, and someone did ask about Kripalu, so I hope you'll think about coming, hopping over a state and a half.
Yeah.
It's actually not that far. And spend the weekend. I hope the rain goes away and it comes back to being a lovely, lovely weekend like last weekend.
Right.
But I'll be in Kripalu this coming weekend, and they handle all the reservations. So if anyone was curious to join me there, you just go to kripalu.org and type in my name. And for those that might be listening who are curious about becoming a Now What facilitator for other people, that our next training is in Portland, Oregon on April 16th and 17th, and then in October in the New York area. But thank you for being here, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for your
great questions, everybody.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Bye.